This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money Hour 3. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Week 4 kicks off tonight. Green Bay, Lambeau, the Lions laying 2.5 on the road, 45.5 as far as the total. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit, but right now we're going to be joined by Matt Sims. You can find and listen to, of course, former college NFL quarterback on SiriusXM NFL Radio every Sunday, ESPN college football analyst, and he's also got a new podcast. This is pretty cool, coming out with his dad, of course, Bill Sims. It's called Sims Complete, and it's on the Believe Podcast Network. Make sure you check that out. We say hi to Matt. Matt, hi. We welcome you in. Let's start with the game tonight. Kicks off Week 4. Why don't we start with what you've seen from Jordan Love, the quarterback there, first-year starter overall for Green Bay. What have you seen from the young quarterback?
There's a lot to be excited about, I think, for Green Bay, and there's multiple reasons. One, you know, just Jordan Love has really done a great job of managing real unrealistic expectations, because it is hard to replace such a great player like Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that he's been able to come in and play as well as he's had so far, and of course, most recently against New Orleans with that unbelievable comeback, making some fantastic throws down the stretch. There's a lot to be optimistic about. And, you know, I'm definitely going to keep a close eye on it going forward, because this guy has talent. He's had really good experience now being in the league as long as he's had, being the backup for Aaron Rodgers, that he really is in a good position to succeed in his career.
Matt, you're a guy that trains quarterbacks. Tell me what you look for in young quarterbacks. Let's take a look at the three guys in the first round this year, Young, Stroud, and of course Richardson, and Justin Fields, Mac Jones. You know, some of these guys that we mentioned, what are some of the criteria that you look for that help you believe that a guy is going to be successful, not just having a good team and good coaching around him at the NFL level?
Yeah, I mean, it's a culmination of things, right? You know, one, you got to just have like that alpha dog personality, right? That personality where you walk in the room and everyone's just like, yeah, like that's our guy. We can follow that guy into the gates of hell if we have to. Then there's the aspect of like, does they have the raw ability and talent, you know, to get it done on Sunday consistently? And then the third part of it is like the discipline and the consistency to learn and to be able to make a mistake, learn from that mistake, and not have that mistake continue to reoccur, you know, as you continue to mature and get experience in the game. And, you know, so far right now, CJ Stroud has shown that he, you know, in this early three weeks of the NFL season, is the best rookie NFL quarterback. He's performing at an extremely high level. I know they're only 1-2, but this dude has looked really good throwing the football. He's moving well. He's making good decisions. Tank Dell, the other rookie teamed up with him, has been extremely impressive too. So it looks like Houston has really hit a home run thus far, only 3 weeks into the season again, but CJ Stroud looks really, really good. He looks comfortable. He looks like an NFL quarterback to me.
Matt Sims joining us here, Sharp Money. Conversely, we've all seen what's happened with Zach Wilson and the Jets. They're at home Sunday night. You know, Kansas City's laying 9.5, 10 points. Matt, I don't expect you to go there with the betting, but let's talk about the quarterback. I know you're not interested in bashing a quarterback, but through your eyes, what are you seeing that's missing right now from Wilson, the young quarterback that were with the Jets?
You know, I see someone that was thrust into a position that he really just was not ready to, again, return to. And I think the best thing for him in the organization was the fact that he did have Aaron Rodgers come in. He was going to be expected to be that backup to get experience by just kind of watching and learning and absorbing information, you know, like a sponge in those meeting rooms during the games, hearing how he talks to teammates, how he manages the game, how he plays the game. And unfortunately for him, all of that got cut short within four plays of Aaron Rodgers' Jets career. And right now, I just see someone that is swimming in the deep end. There's not much help as far as the creativity on the offensive side of the football. And, you know, this team in its inner turmoil is a little concerning. And it's also a little concerning, too, to think that Aaron had that much effect on the entire team, that already 3 weeks into it, it's already kind of falling apart.
Matt, let's go to the flip side of it. You talked about Zach Wilson's inability kind of with the pressure. You train a guy in Kyle McCord who showed tremendous poise on the last drive for Ohio State against Notre Dame Saturday night, including completing a third down and 19. Tell us in working with Kyle what you see as some of the strengths that he's been able to really apply on the football field in just four starts and winning a huge game in South Bend.
Oh, man. I mean, first of all, it's the 10,000 hour rule at its finest, right? I mean, I've seen that kid in my training sessions make that throw thousands of times. And what was so amazing is, you know, now being on the aspect of the side of that fence of being a coach, seeing that athlete do it at the biggest stage of his life and the biggest moment ever, just deliver absolute rockets into tight coverage versus a very talented Notre Dame secondary. It was just an unbelievable moment for that young man and his family. And he earned it. He earned it by all the hours and hard work that he put into this stuff off the field, you know, in these little workout sessions here with me, with the other quarterback coaches that he's worked with. So it's just a credit and a testament to that young man, his discipline and his tenacity to continue to get better. And the dude is just like, you know, stoic and steadfast. Nothing is too big for him. And he really showed it there against Notre Dame. And, you know, hey, Sam Hartman, a ton of experience, you know, a guy that people think is an NFL caliber football player. I saw Kyle McCord outshine someone that is, you know, expected to be an NFL guy one day. I saw Kyle McCord show why he's going to be someone to be on the lookout for and a potential NFL football player here soon.
There you go. Matt got fired up there talking about his boy, McCord. Like to hear it. Matt Sims joining us, SiriusXM on Sundays on NFL Radio. I love hearing you support your boy. Let's talk about the game in London, because Atlanta and Jacksonville are going to play overseas. Jacksonville's laying 3. But Matt, I'm asking you about Jacksonville because I want to ask about Lawrence, who just prototypically, right, Matt, he looks like there's no reason to believe he's not a Hall of Famer. You know, arm strength, the size, the temperament, everything's there. They've had issues thus far. Red zone, I don't know if it's the play calling, I don't know if it's the quarterback, but what do you see when you're watching Trevor Lawrence right now?
I think Jason Garrett said it extremely well on Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America last week, when he was just like, maybe we just kind of built up the Jaguars a little bit too soon, and they're not the team that we expected them to be because they're still in that rebuilding phase. I think, you know, he said it perfectly. They're a team that got hot late. They got in the playoffs. They won a miracle game against the Los Angeles Chargers. But, you know, the reality is that I think they are a team that is still trying to figure out, you know, the identity of their football team, the depth at certain play at certain positions. So, you know, it's been tough. You know, the key is, again, for Trevor, at least he has Doug Peterson, a guy who is very familiar with helping young quarterbacks and grooming quarterbacks to great success. So you just hope that this is some early season hiccups. And for whatever reason, they just can't beat the Texans. But this matchup against the Falcons, it's going to be a bloodbath, man. It really is. I mean, because the Falcons are just a super aggressive football team. Bijan Robinson is showing you why he is a first round caliber running back. You know, Hollins is doing a fantastic job of winning one-on-one opportunities down, you know, on the outside at the receiver position. And Desmond Ridder, as long as they don't get behind early, can manage the game and do what's expected of them. If they get in a pass happy situation for whatever reason, if they're down early by a lot, that's where Desmond, I think, isn't quite ready to take that next step as the leader of that football team. But if they can keep this a close game, if they can rely on that run game and being aggressive at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line, with Bijan Robinson, with Algier running the football, I think the Falcons will be sitting pretty by the end of this one.
I want to ask you about a couple of quarterbacks that have been kind of surprising a little bit, one being Josh Dobbs in Arizona. He's a guy who got signed last year off the street for Tennessee, plays in that game against Jacksonville. Is this a guy that you believe can be a long-term starter in the NFL? Not an elite starter, but a guy, or is he more of a number two in the right situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Jets had Josh Dobbs right now, they'd be extremely happy, right? Because they're not asking Josh to do much, right? They're just asking Josh not to lose the game. And really, as a quarterback, that's the first thing that you need to do. And he's doing a great job of that. You know, the one issue I think that Arizona has is that they just don't have like a ton of like superstars on the outside that have been really the difference in the game, especially late. But so far, I mean, Coach Gannon, I think, has done a great job of just, you know, implementing just toughness and grittiness to this football team. And then Josh has done a fantastic job of just managing the situation, making good decisions, not turning the football over, playing tough, and just being a microcosm of his coach. And I think it's really exciting because this is a team that we wrote off before the season started that they were going to stink. And so far here early, you know, they could very well be 3-0. That's how crazy this is. You know, that Giants game, it's unbelievable that they lost that game the way that they did. And Washington very easily could have won that game too. So this defense has been a pain in the butt for some of these teams. They've been really good in the first half. Unfortunately, they've just given up too many explosive plays in the second half, and that's why they are sitting 1-2.
Tremendous. Great job, Matt. Matt Sims, you can hear him Sundays on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's got a new podcast with his pops coming out. It's called Sims Complete on the Believe Podcast Network. You can find Matt on Twitter at SimsCompleteQB. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
No, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank enjoyed you. The conversation. Thank you very much. Josh Dobbs, his stock is going up like a rocket ship, boys. I feel like we've talked about Joshua Dobbs more on this show than I ever expected, right?
Oh, this has been more than they ever talked about him on Rocky Top.
It's fascinating. He's done a hell of a job for himself. When we return, I've promoted it nonstop, and I promise we're going to get to it. We're going to the dog pound next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, official partner of the NFL. Make sure you download the DraftKings app. When you do, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you use the promo code SHARP. It's that simple. Again, tonight, any NFL game, you bet $5, you get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you use the promo code SHARP. It's a great deal. The crown is yours, DraftKings. Download the app today. We're back, Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We've got week 4 kicking off Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that game. I know you've got a bunch of props. I've got a play on the total coming up with the Lions laying 2.5, 45, 45 and a half on the total as far as Green Bay is concerned. Just wanted to kind of close the book on a couple of dead or alives that we left over from yesterday. And one in particular, just because I think the number's so steep and I think it's interesting, ACC right now, as far as the conference odds, you take a look, boys, is it dead or alive as far as Miami? Now the Hurricanes have a bye this week, but to win the conference right now, they are sitting, I believe, 7.5 to 1. Yeah, 7.5 to 1. Wow. So they're your second betting favorites in the ACC, of course. No surprise. Florida State, after the win at Clemson, is a -160 favorite. Then you go 8.5 to 1 on North Carolina and Duke, 8.5 to 1. I bring it up because the two of you had a strong take as far as Miami being alive in the ACC.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, when you look, Florida State and Louisville are both 2-0. Duke is 1-0, and North Carolina 1-0. Clemson 0-2, which is a huge blow. And by the time they play Clemson, which is a home game down in South Florida, this Tigers team could be completely disengaged. This is a crucial couple of weeks coming up for Dabo's team. So I think when you look at Mario Cristobal, the job that Tyler Van Dyke and company have done offensively, they've run the ball effectively. I think the Hurricanes are very much alive. Even if they were to lose that game up at Doak Campbell to Florida State, this team, Patrick, can still be there. And you look at Restapro and George, the receiver position, they've been very, very good. Parrish and Chaney continue to run the ball effectively. I like where this team is. They've got several guys. You include Allen and the young kid, Mark Fletcher, out of American Heritage. They've got some ballers back there, I'm telling you right now. And the defense, people don't realize how good the Miami secondary is. They've got some talent back there. Can the pass rush get home? If it does, I think the Miami team is very much alive to win an ACC title.
I'm a Miami fan, and Patrick, you know, I am never high on this team. I think that they stink. Even when Stephen Morris led them to the ACC title game when they lost, I have never believed in them. I just don't think that they've been a good team over the last 2 years, and I really don't trust Cristobal in game. However, I think there are two future head coaches on this staff. I can't figure out which was the better coordinator hire. Shannon Dawson on offense, who has Tyler Van Dyke just looking like an absolute stud and an NFL player, kind of the guy we saw two seasons ago. And the other one on the defensive side, Lance Guidry, comes over from Marshall. That defense was awesome a year ago. The secondary is so good. They are so disciplined, and they're doing the things that good teams are supposed to do. Miami in the past would not take care of a Temple team the way that they did last week. They won 41-7. In the past, they'd let a team like that hang around. They beat A&M, but I thought week one, they were super impressive against Miami of Ohio, which was a tough matchup with a young quarterback on the other side for the Red Hawks that people are really high on. I love what this team is doing. I love the direction they're heading in. I think the offense is innovative and different, and they finally have skill guys like Chaney and Parrish at the running back position who are stepping up when they need to. You mentioned Restrepo. He's a legit number one for Van Dyke right now. I love Miami, and here's the key to this whole bet. 7-1 on Miami to win the ACC. It's a great hedge opportunity. There's no more divisions in the ACC. So the two highest teams in the league with the best winning percentage will meet in the title game. That is key.
But by the way, guys, I don't think people realize right now nationally, the ACC has the 6 through 9 highest scoring teams in college football. Syracuse, Miami, Florida State, and Louisville, all in the top 10 in scoring, averaging better than 42 points per game.
Good job, fellas. Okay, so Florida State. They're your big favorites at $1.60. Miami 7.5-1 in the ACC. Certainly alive. All right, let's get to it. Week 4 kicks off tonight in Green Bay. Fellas, I think there's only one place to look. We're showing 45. You can find a 45.5. I'm going to go under. You know the numbers on Thursday night. Night games, 9-2 to the under this year. Division rival. Two games that cashed to the under last year, Lions and Packers, 6-3 overall, the last 9 between these two. They're familiar with one another. A big-time revenge spot for the Packers, who lost in Week 18 against the Lions last year. But really, this comes down to the defenses in a short week for me. Both defenses have allowed fewer than 5 yards per play. And you take a look, we don't have the official injury report, but we know both teams, specifically offensive front-wise, are completely banged up. The offensive lines are a mess. You've got two defenses that are top 10 in pressure rate. I think it's going to make it ugly for Love in his first primetime game. Ugly for Goff, where he doesn't perform well outside at night. Again, this is a Lions team that's a top 5 run D. It's a Lions team that, again, while they ran the ball well, they haven't really broke out offensively. That second half against Atlanta was a good dictator as far as they had an opportunity to really push the gas on Atlanta, and they didn't do it. I think the Packers, their weakness is defending the run. I don't think the Lions really bust out tonight. I think it's going to be ugly, back and forth, punt, 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 punt. 45.5 is a gift to me. I'll go under Lions-Packers tonight on Thursday Night Football.
I like the call. And another thing that substantiates it for me is I said they've got to run the ball effectively. Green Bay has to. And they are only averaging 90 yards per game right now, guys. They didn't get over 100 yards against the Bears. Struggled offensively, 224 total against the Atlanta Falcons. This team's got to do a much better job. Played better in the passing game, 245 yards passing against New Orleans. But I thought it was a little bit of New Orleans just being in a bad spot mentally. Car goes down. They've got a 17-point lead. They squander it. And so give the Packers credit there. I think it's going to be tough sledding tonight for Jordan Love. And if you're Detroit and you're Aaron Glenn, you say, hey, listen, we're going to take away Aaron Jones if he goes, or we're going to take away the running game in general. We're going to let Jordan Love beat us. I just don't think he's capable of doing that. And in essence, he's going to have to put up at least 21 points for this game to get over to 45 points.
Totally agree. And we're going to get to the props now. Asian handicap, a quarter of a sack on Aiden Hutchinson, leads the NFL with 19 pressures. I'm going to go over there. Now we pass it off to you, big guy, on props.
I'm on the Lions money line as well. I gave that out yesterday before it moved all the way to 2, 2.5 at some places. Until we get to 3, but I still like the Lions. I just don't see any way for the Packers here to come through. 31.5% of Jordan Love's throws this season have been uncatchable. That's the highest in the NFL. He's dead last in completion percentage over expected at -9.9%. It's worse than Justin Fields. I'm back in the Lions all the way tonight. For the props, a Lion prop and a Packers prop. We'll go with Josh Reynolds over 2.5 receptions, coming off a game where he wasn't targeted at all, was also dealing with an injury. I think this is the type of the game where the focus is on stopping Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I think if Jair Alexander is out, it helps Josh Reynolds' case even more, because all that focus will be on stopping St. Brown. That will leave short pass opportunities open for Reynolds against a weaker cornerback. Also, Musgrave, the tight end for the Packers, plus price over 3.5 receptions. He's getting it done, and teams are focusing on getting the ball to their tight ends versus this Lions defense to start the year. I think he goes off for more than 3.5 receptions, plus 114.
Okay, we do, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw it, but we do finally have the rush yards props up, because David Montgomery is in. So Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, remember, Gibbs with 17 carries against Atlanta, Montgomery's back. So 51.5 for Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, 35.5. I'll tell you, my eyes went directly to Jordan Love. I'm going to go over 19.5 rush yards for the Packer quarterback. This is, you know, last week, 39 rush yards on 9 attempts, 23, and then 12 in week 1 against the Bears. This has everything to do with a pass rush that is going to absolutely consume him tonight from the left side. He's going to be forced to take off and run. I'll go over 19.5 Jordan Love rush yards.
Like that call there. He's going to have to utilize his mobility if he's going to be successful in this Packers team's going to move the ball at all. I'm just not convinced. When you look at this team, yes, take the Chicago game out of the equation. We know how bad the Bears are. They played well in the first half against the Falcons. I was going to say more the second quarter. And then they played well in the fourth quarter against New Orleans. I just don't think this team's offense is as good as their 2-1 record would indicate. I think they could be in a little bit of trouble here tonight.
I like this play a lot, Patrick. 7 sacks a week ago. They'll get after him. He's going to have to use his legs to get away and make something happen if he's going to keep the Packers in the game.
And big guy, 46.5 on Jones, fellas. So he is in officially. And the prop set at 46.5. Dylan, 32.5. So just interesting there how they've cut with Montgomery, Gibbs, and Jones and Dylan. They've cut the prop there.
Yeah, Lions been pretty good against the run so far to start the year, though. So I'm just 3.2 yards per carry. That's fourth best in the NFL. Packers don't do a great job at running the ball, and plus you have offensive line issues. Yeah, I'd lean under on Jones.
Let's just hope the Lions, like, again, I'm not objective, but let's hope the Lions win so Samich isn't insufferable tomorrow on the program.
Yeah, but what if it's Bellas? Like 3 defensive touchdowns?
I'm not worried at all.
I'm not worried about Jordan Love playing well.
Some confidence. Brenneman, thank you. Emery Hunt, thank you. Matt Sims, thank you for joining us. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Sports Bet app right now. It's hofbets.com. And when you do, use the code WINNER and get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. We're back. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Money. Patrick Maher. I wish I would be Patrick Money. Maybe that would be a good synonym. Or what do they call it? Not a synonym.
Stage name, a pseudonym?
Yeah, pseudonym. Like I work on VSiN and I'm Patrick Money. How about that? The under, by the way, cashed in both of these meetings between the Packers and Lions last year. If you throw out the Seattle game, which I understand it's just 3 weeks in, you can't, but the Lions are giving up just 12.5 points per, again, division rival, 6-3 to the under the past 9 these two have played. I do like that under 45.5. Big guy, we'll go to you, and we've got a bunch coming up as far as guests. Let me just tease it out here. Coming up in about 14 minutes, Adam Brenneman does a great job, CBS Sports, Big Ten Network, college football analyst, is going to join. Emery Hunt, CBS Sports, is going to join. Matt Sims is going to join as well. SiriusXM, NFL Radio, of course. Phil and Chris, the whole family getting involved in broadcast. So we're going to be joined by Matt Sims. Shout to our buddy Josh Applebaum, who's under the weather and had to shut down today, but we hope he feels better. Let's go to the big guy as far as props on the week four opener with Detroit at the Packers and Lambeau.
Also, Mike Zomich, who's sick. He's sickly obsessed with the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is an obsession that is odd, but it is also, listen, it's we work mostly, and it's starting to become more inclusive where women are getting involved, which I love to see in the sports betting space. But we work with a bunch of dudes, and dudes will fall on the sword that is pride. And once ego gets involved and he's hung his hat on Jordan Love with absolutely booty up statistics, and he keeps on just sending us gifts and reminding us that Jordan Love is all of a sudden Joe Montana. Take it easy, Samich. And tomorrow, if the Packers roll like he just texted us, we'll give you every opportunity to pimp all over the show. Yeah. No doubt.
Samich, I will bet you a body part or organ of my of your choosing from my body that you can have donated, other than my kidneys, because I'm probably going to be diabetic at some point. I need both of those things. You can have either of them if Jordan Love wins a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback. Okay.
You're going to give body part. You're going to give organs.
He can have a body part, an organ, whatever he needs. He can have it, except for my kidneys.
He's a good dude. You could probably just buy him dinner, but okay. You can go organs if that's what floats your boat. All right. Anything in the prop market for you?
So there's
If you're looking for running backs right now, DraftKings and the rest of the shops are very smart. Everything's down because they don't know who's playing, who's not as far as the backs.
Yeah, so there's two I like. The first one is Luke Musgrave, over 3.5 receptions for Green Bay. It's actually a plus price right now, plus 114. So last week I saw the Falcons targeted their tight ends 47% of the time against the Lions. That's the highest in the NFL for last week. The league average is normally about 19%. So I went back and looked, and apparently this is a weak spot in this Lions defense because Noah Gray and Blake Bell without Travis Kelce had a solid performance where they combined for 5 receptions and 43 yards, two guys that barely play. Then Seattle's tight ends Disley and Fant went off, and Jonnu Smith and Pitts went off. So through 3 weeks, the average that Detroit's allowing to tight ends, 7.3 receptions, 70 yards per game. I'm going to go over 3.5 receptions for Luke Musgrave, who has 3 against Chicago for 50, 3 at Atlanta for 25, and then last week against New Orleans, he got more acclimated into this offense, 6 for 49. That's the first prop.
Well, it's two good ones because Laporta and Musgrave, of course, both rookies, rank first and second respectively in both catches and receiving yards amongst rookie tight ends. So starting well, the Lions, they're starting to get away from the mold of Matt Patricia, where all of a sudden in 2021, he wanted big, lumbering, slow linebackers, which makes sense in a pass-first league. So that's been an issue, middle of the field against tight ends, but they're starting to get a little quicker at the position. But I don't hate that. What's two?
The next one is Josh Reynolds, over 2.5 receptions as well. I looked at how Green Bay's been defending how I view the number two receivers on some of these teams so far to start the year. Mooney had 4 for 53, Mac Hollins had 3 for 60, and Michael Thomas, I'd make him the two, but Olave went off 2 last week for New Orleans. Thomas had 6 for 50. Still no Jameson Williams. Reynolds is in that number two role. You can debate him or Khalif Raymond, but I think he has a little bit more rapport with Jared Goff at this point because they go back to their days with the Rams. I think for Green Bay, especially if Jair Alexander's out, the focus will be on stopping Amon-Ra St. Brown. They will put all of their resources to make sure that St. Brown doesn't go off against them and Laporta doesn't keep this going. I think that opens up a few opportunities for Josh Reynolds to make plays. He's also coming off a game a week ago where he had 0 targets. I like betting on those guys who are coming off a performance like that because I think it will be an emphasis to get him involved early. So we're going to go over 2.5. He's also performed really well whenever Jameson Williams hasn't been in the lineup over the last 2 years. Reynolds over 2.5 receptions.
Question for both of you, because I know you guys play a lot more props than I do. How do you look at from the initial market or number of props available and kind of hone in on what you want to take? Is there kind of like, for me, I used to do a lot of running back props. I don't do pass catching ones unless it's maybe a yardage in terms of number of receptions. That's one I've never gotten involved in. But how do you kind of narrow down what you're going to take?
I like receptions more than receiving yards. I feel like they are more easier to predict.
Yeah, you can judge targets.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. You can absolutely judge targets.
And I like offenses that get the ball out quickly, and that's something that Jared Goff definitely does, gets the ball quickly to receivers. So it's certain things I look for. If you notice, I'll do a lot of reception props. I won't do a ton of rushing yards. I'll do rush attempts. I won't do rushing yards. I think those are a little harder to predict.
A simple one for me, just to give an example, is when I'm looking at sacks, I don't look at the number of sacks a player has. I look at pressures, because the pressures eventually will lead to sacks. That's just kind of where it happens. And the depth at offensive tackle tonight for the Packers will be tested without Bakhtiari, without Jenkins. And you look at somebody like Aiden Hutchinson, he's first in the NFL Amal with 19 total pressures entering week four. So you look at him on the Asian handicap right now in the sacks market over at DraftKings, he's a quarter at minus 105. I'll go over that, assuming that those 19 pressures eventually leads to sacks. So I look at something like that as an out, as something that leads to, not necessarily, sometimes a sack can be misleading, but pressure is not necessarily misleading, if that makes sense.
And I also rarely look at the main guys in the offense. I'm trying to find those guys with a lower number, where if the game script or the game plan or the matchup plays into them being able to go off a little bit easier, I don't have to clear a high number.
Well, I like Patrick's pick on Aiden Hutchinson tonight, because to me, when you look at this game, if you believe what I believe, which is that Detroit's probably going to win the football game, it's not definitive, but I think if they're trailing, you would have more opportunities from a pass rush perspective, because you're going to be trailing in the football game. You're going to be throwing the ball. So that's always something you want to take into consideration when you're looking at some of these props. It just still feel like, for me, a lot of times props have some great value. And I know so many of our guests come on, they have prop plays. I still look at so many of these lines and so many of the other things. I think there's advantage there. But you guys have kind of nicely honed in on some of the opportunities in the prop market.
By the way, that has become a meme, not just with Chris Collinsworth, but other broadcasters trying to say pass rush, saying pesh rush. Like, it's like when my mom tries to say Channing Tatum and she says Tanning Chatham. It's an issue for not just a mall, but apparently
Westbrook.
Everybody trying to say that.
Russell Westbrook, what are you talking about?
Russell Westbrook.
Say it all the time.
Russell Westbrook. I've never heard that one before.
No, I've always accidentally slipped that one up. I think we need a different term for it. That's all. We just need a different term for pass rush.
Hey, good news. You won't have to say Russell Westbrook much this year.
Is he on a team?
He'll be on the bench anywhere he is.
And speaking of which, the fallout in Miami, it feels like the deal was a bigger deal for Miami not getting Dame Lillard than it was for Milwaukee actually getting the services of Dalla Dame, right? Like, that's the only conversation. I mean, I understand that's where we are in new media, and that's kind of what the narrative has been, that he's going to end up in Miami. A lot of it has to do with the hubris of Pat Riley. Pat Riley essentially said, hey, Portland, here's the offer. Go ahead and shop for a better one. Portland's like, yeah, we did. So they went out and shop for a better one. Like, Riley was unwilling to budge, because that's just who he is at that age, and it's Pat Riley, so what are you going to do? But Riley was unwilling to budge. And the Portland Trail Blazers said, hold my beer, and went and found what they considered to be a better deal.
I think this move helps them immensely. You get a big man in Ayton. You also bring in Drew Holiday. And I got to tell you, one thing I want to amend a statement I made yesterday. I thought when you look at Milwaukee, they're going to be appreciably better. I don't think so. There's one area that I forgot. Drew Holiday is probably the best on-ball defender in basketball. And as good as Dame is as a closer, and he's a great player, free throw line, three-point shooting, what he can do and stretch the floor, you're going to miss an immensely the on-ball defense that Drew Holiday gives you.
I agree. And didn't you tell me Drew Holiday, the 76ers were looking to trade for him, big guy?
Saw the 76ers were interested. One note about your thing about Miami. I didn't realize part of Heat culture was being a whiny little, almost cursed.
Are we not allowed to say that?
Are you bitter?
Oh, I just think that Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler, like, calling out collusion is the lamest thing ever. You have no one to trade!
Adam Brenneman next, talking college football.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, we welcome you back. Hour two, Thursday, week four kicks off tonight. The NFL, of course, you've got the lines. It's funny. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. He was just asking randomly, are we still sitting two with the Lions laying it tonight in Lambeau? And then we looked up, and as we did, the board lit up, and DraftKings went to 2.5. So I'm taking a look right now, boys. Yeah, DraftKings is sitting 2.5. So that jumped up without the juice moving on my board. We're seeing twos. So again, if you want to lay it with the Lions, you can find a two. If you want to take it with Green Bay right now, you can find a 2.5. I don't think we're going to get to three. If you hit three, that would immediately get bought back down to 2.5. But interesting to see if it does. If you're a mitigator and you don't want to worry about the points at all, obviously you could just lay the $1.40. You can find a $1.35 with the Lions. And the pregame total right now, we're looking at 45. Again, 45 mostly everywhere. If you want to go under, you can find a 45.5. A couple of things before we get into the dog pound, boys. You know, I was having a conversation with a huge Raiders fan. Yes, they exist, earlier today. And he was talking about Josh McDaniels. And I've gone on ad nauseum. Remember, I went last year with Millie Lombardi to that Raiders Rams game here at SoFi right down the road. And I told you, just overall, the vibe I got from McDaniels, it wasn't good. And it's not necessarily something, I don't want to go necessarily totally on body language, and you like to give people second chances. So I'm not necessarily just jumping on, let's club McDaniels because he kicked it down 8 on the Steelers 8. Okay. So I'm not going there just because of that, but I can tell you sometimes you just get like anthropologic. Is that what it is? How do you say it, big guy?
Anthropology.
You're talking to the
yes,
wrong
thank
dude.
You. You get those type of vibes, which essentially just watching human beings. And when I was at that game and I saw McDaniels camping out 50 yards away from his team, never getting involved with the offense, never getting involved with the defense, he looked like an offensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach. And frankly, we haven't really seen anything. A bunch of big-time halftime leads lost last year for the Raiders, which was historic. And this year, you know, a 1-2 start. They're 1-2 ATS. It hasn't been impressive. And I bring that all up because this week they're at San Diego. Go ahead, demerit. They're at Los Angeles. And they're laying 5.5 the last time I checked. And now if you take a look at social media, I mean, I don't even want to make light of it because it does appear as though somebody's having a nervous breakdown. But the Chandler Jones stuff is ridiculous. And again, to even speculate or hypothesize as to what's happening with the individual as a human would be completely reckless on my part. But he's losing it. And unfortunately, it's happening right there in the public eye on social media or X, whatever you want to call it. He's going after Hunter Renfro. He's now going after Max Crosby. He went after ownership. He went after the head coach. He went after the general manager. And I'm not putting somebody's meltdown on McDaniels. I want to make that very clear. But as I kick it back to you boys, I will say it just does seem to be one more thing added to the nightmare or the mess that continues to be the Las Vegas Raiders, because it's an organization right now that is completely upside down.
You know, when you look at this team, guys, you talked about it. Everything has kind of been turned upside down. They get the opening win, and you feel like, okay, this team's heading in the right direction, potentially. And then they get absolutely wiped off the field in Buffalo. A struggle, bad coaching decisions at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday night. Have you guys ever seen a coach stand so far away from the rest of his team? I've never seen that before, ever.
No. And it was shocking to see it in person, frankly. And it wasn't necessarily just standing away. Mick Lombardi, who is Michael Lombardi's son, who's the offensive coordinator, he was engaged when the offense would come off. He was the one talking directly to Derek Carr. What I'm trying to say is I didn't even see McDaniels entertaining his team on offense during timeouts. So if he's not going to get involved with the offense, which is what McDaniels is, you know, and again, we used to talk about this all the time. We sometimes categorize people where the hot new assistant is the dude next up for a head coaching job. To me, that's always been ass backwards and counterintuitive if you're trying to find a leader. Like, nothing about calling plays offensively or defensively in any way constitutes somebody potentially being a head coach. Like, the idea of somebody calling plays good, and yes, that's grammatically incorrect, the idea that they could be a CEO is just absolutely asinine to me. So the fact that McDaniels goes to Denver, hits big early, and then absolutely falls apart, he was young, goes back to Belichick rehab, calls plays well, and then gets another head coaching job after he disrespected the Colts on the way out with the double bird is fascinating to me. But here we are, to Amal's point, with a dude that doesn't even stand near his team on game days. Issue.
wild move from McDaniels, because I think in any walk of life, whatever your profession is, you can stink and be liked and stay employed.
Likeability is as important as ability.
Or if you're going to be hated, you better be really good at the job. He is the rare case where he stinks, he's hated, and he keeps getting opportunities over and over again.
Dustin brought up a couple of things that are applicable just in life. You know, you have to get along with people. Whether you like people or not is irrelevant, but you have to have the ability to get along with people you work with. And then the second thing is, I always kind of point this out. If Wayne Gretzky is able to be traded, every single coach and athlete is expendable. And if you're Josh McDaniels, you come in with an 18-30 career record, a 38 win percentage, what are you doing? I tell you right now, we know Tom Brady's made a ton of money in his career, but this guy should be getting royalty checks from Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Bill O'Brien, and Josh McDaniels. All of these people have been able to steal millions and millions of dollars in the National Football League and at the collegiate level because they all were associated with Tom Brady.
Yeah, the issue is he works for an organization and an owner that is completely anomalous as compared to, for the most part, the Bidwells. You can throw them in the mix. Yeah. But, you know, Mark Davis is just a Nepo weirdo that is just involved. Like, he got the stadium built in Las Vegas and he's good because obviously, but that's it. Like, there's nothing behind. And his hires, Bisaccia went out and beat this team they're playing this weekend. Bisaccia literally made the postseason after Gruden got fired for emails that were unsavory. Bisaccia goes to the postseason. The whole entire locker room is like, this guy is legit. He moves on and go grabs McDaniels. It's been an odd, event full time in Las Vegas thus far.
Yeah, and so things are starting to get weird in the locker room. So I don't know if you guys saw on Sunday. I'm going to read a quote, and then we're going to hear from Davante Adams from yesterday. After the game, he was talking about winning culture and doing things a different way. He said, quote, "We're not doing things the right way to establish a winning culture. We've got to go out there and do it. That's the theme of this year, doing it. Not just talking about it and figuring out what we need to do. We did all that last year. This year, we got to be about it." Davante Adams, yesterday meeting with the media, was asked about his comments, and he clarified some of them, but also kind of doubled down as well. Here's what he had to say.
For the people that I needed it to, yeah. I mean, the rest of the people, it's no surprise, it's no secret that I truly don't care what people think. You know, as long as the people that it's intended for understand the message, that's what's most important to me. For the people that didn't understand the message, it was not a shot or directed at anybody in the front office here. That was about us as a football team and the players that go out there and control things and have the most control over what happens, you know, in the outcome of games. And, you know, I think it's a really cowardly and small thing to take shots at coaches when we do have a lot to do, you know, the most to do what happens ultimately out there on the field. So
he's a total pro. He's one of the best I've ever seen. He's a Hall of Famer. He also complained coming into the season when they moved on from Derek Carr. Remember,
well, he
wasn't happy
there
with the coaching staff at the time. He came here to play with Derek Carr. He came there where you guys are sitting, I should say, in Clark County. Shout out to Clark County to play with Derek Carr. And it's all just falling apart around him. That is a house of cards right now with the Vegas Raiders.
Well, I mean, think about this. To your point, he came here with the intention he's going to play with his best friend from Fresno State. He goes from Aaron Rodgers to Carr, a bit of a drop-off. But at the same time, you have an opportunity to play with somebody you're very close to. And now all of a sudden, he's gone. They move on from him. If I am the Raiders, I trade Davante Adams before
trade
the trade.
Everyone.
Day. Well, yeah, it's exactly. To me, you start stockpiling draft picks. I mean, why not go? What would you guys look to get if you're another team? What would you be willing to give up? I would give up a 1 and a 3 all day and say, hey, where do we sign? Davante Adams has an immediate impact. Think about this. If Davante Adams goes to 30 other teams, minus the Minnesota Vikings, he is the number one receiver on everybody's team. That includes Ja'Marr Chase. That includes Tyreek Hill, anybody else.
Speaking of, you just mentioned Fresno State with Davante Adams and Derek Carr. Speaking of Fresno State, go to Fresno State and then go, oh, yeah, we forgot he's at Washington now, and pick up Kalen DeBoer and bring back a real head coach. That would be my advice. And by the way, I do like the over in this matchup this weekend. Both defenses have been highly questionable, that being the Raiders and the Chargers. I think the number was right around 48. You can give me an updated number. 48. Even if the Chargers tighten up things a little, we're showing 48.5. That's the one place I'd look. It has dipped from 5.5 down to 5, boys, with the Chargers laying it.
I'm laying it. I haven't even done my research yet. I can tell you that Raiders defense is so bad. Russell Wilson marched up and down the field against them. I think they stink. I was on Allen's prop, passing prop, over against them. I think Herbert's going to go off again because I don't know if Eckler's going to play. If Eckler doesn't play, I'd look at whatever they set the number at for Justin Herbert. It wasn't up when I looked yesterday. I'd go over on Herbert passing yards, and I would lay the 5. I don't see any way.
Yeah, but you brought up. Sorry, go ahead, Dustin.
I just don't see any way that the Raiders' offense can respond back enough times when that defense is as bad as it is.
And the defense that you just brought up, which would be the Raiders, how about the Chargers? Okay, giving up 24 to the Vikings, 36 to the Dolphins, you can understand. Didn't they give up 27 to the Titans?
Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair.
The Titans just didn't gain 100 yards against the Browns.
Do you know what Jimmy Garoppolo's arm is? It's like if Kenny Pickett took PEDs for 1 week. It's just a little bit better than Kenny Pickett's. He's not throwing them back into this game.
What if he took PADs, though?
Performance. I got to think of a word for A.
You nailed it. Nothing. Hey, when we come back, we're going to the pound, boys. The dog pound. Next.